in Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're here, Morning Crossfire on a Monday. You know when it's Monday, it's extended. So we're starting right now to end at 10 o'clock this morning. And I have my guest here that will be together, you know, all the week. Bolan Olajide joins me right now. Bolan, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff, and good morning to our listeners everywhere.
We're going to have a pretty huge conversation this morning because we want to talk election. We want to talk about the economy. We want to talk about the APC. We're still going to talk about your own preparation and the rest of them. But let's start from the basics right now. Let me start with the currency redesign and, you know, Naira swap. What's your thought on that?
Naira swap, currency redesign, cashless Nigeria. In itself, it's not a bad policy. You want to redesign your currency from time to time. This is a global practice across everywhere in the world, for reasons best known. One of the main reasons is counterfeiting. That's why you want to redesign your note. Though the report has been that we do not exactly have that much counterfeiting problem in Nigeria. So if that is the basis, then it might not be justified. But come to think of it, if we have not done any redesign for over a decade,
that's right.
It should be right about time that we redesigned the Naira. So no problem with that. Cashless society, yes, beyond the shores of Nigeria, is some sort of global agenda to migrate people from cash onto the cashless environment. You see a country like Sweden, incidentally, I think Sweden was probably the first country to issue a fiat note, this currency that we're talking about, in the entire Europe. But today, Sweden's about 98% on financial inclusion and electronic and the usage of other channels apart from cash. So if you put that in simple language, it means about 98% of the people have embraced using of other channels. They've even gone further where you have a situation in which people don't really use cards any longer.
Yeah.
Because what does card do essentially? It helps you to authenticate who the owner is. Well, if that authentication can be done using your fingerprint or your iris, why do you want to carry the card all around? So all those things are there. So for Nigeria too, there's nothing wrong with that policy. However, we have seen how the policy has gone. So you have a country where financial inclusion, as at 2023 January, is still about 64%, which means about 36% of the population, of the bankable population, do not have any access. So they are not buying to payments, to deposit, to anything financial service. They have no access. 36%. If you translate that to numbers, it comes to some fat millions of Nigerians with that access.
That's right.
So in that kind of a situation, when we are doing a policy such as a cashless, it starts from the level of awareness, especially as it concerns people that we just spoke about. Maybe there are 50 million of them that do not have this access. They need to know exactly what this is all about. Apart from knowing what this is all about, that is the sensitization part. And the sensitization needs to involve all levels of people that they listen to. The traditional institutions, the religious institutions, who can talk to this boy and say, this is what is going on. And this is how you plug in. Apart from that, we now need to help them to migrate. So they're used to cash. They don't know any other thing in their life. So helping them to migrate will include opening account for them.
Okay.
So there must be that structure up to their level, which is what probably the agency bank will have been able to help them do. That will open account for them, give them some other things that maybe those of them who can use cards. Beyond that, teach them to use the other channel. You want them to use other channels, right? Somebody must walk them, handhold them through that system and say, oh, this your Abeta Pass My Neighbor phone or whatever they call all those Palasha phone. This is how to use a USSD, whatever. You see that account where I open for you, eh? If you want to do payment to Alhaji Bashir, this is what you do. And so you walk them into being able to use the other channels. This did not happen. The awareness at those levels was extremely poor. There was nobody that took it upon, not even the commercial bank, took upon themselves to go right to those levels of these 50 million Nigerians that we're talking about to say, this is what is going on. We will help you open an account. This is how to use other channels apart from the cash that you are used to. So there seems to be an expectation that this will just happen because we have set a deadline. If you set a deadline, if they like, let them bring them. If they don't like, let them do, you know, once we cut off and they can go and do their worst.
That brings me to my next area of this conversation, which is implementation.
Correct.
Of this. Like you have said, many people have said, they actually don't have a problem with Naira redesign, but the implementation, they've got big problems. Do you have a problem with implementation?
That's what I just described now, right, is part of the implementation problem. There is a champion, which is the CBN. And this is a project. You want this to succeed. You know you have this huge number of people who are financially excluded. You know the informal sector is huge, where people do a lot of transactions. What did we do specifically to migrate these people from the lives that they are used to? This is what they have done all of their entire life into the new life I want them to adopt. What did we do? The infrastructure is another problem. So there is the banking platform, which is meant to accommodate this new channel that we want these people to use.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say I have been able to persuade someone and say, come, let me walk you through how to be savvy on the cashless side of things. I open an account for him. I show him how to use those things. Then the first time he tried to use it, the transaction did not work. Because in this season, we had a situation in which one of the biggest banks in Nigeria was off the radar for like 2 weeks. Nobody could do any transaction on those channels that we're talking about for about 2 weeks. So if there were even some converts, they came onto this, they bought in to this initiative. They used the bank. It did not work. What do you think will happen? They will backpedal. You have some other banks that were epileptic. As I'm speaking to you, I see you have two transactions unresolved from last week.
Same here. True.
So if the platforms are not ready, we did not stress test those platforms to ensure that they are ready for what we're about to unleash on them. And they messed up in the midst of this. That is also part of
very poor. Is the CBN not aware of all of this?
Or is
down to poor planning on the part of the CBN? And add this to it. How would you rate the performance of Gordon Emefiele being the central bank governor? Let's start with the planning for the implementation of this policy.
I think the CBN overlooked a lot of things. And that is because, I mean, this is my own personal theory. I don't think that policy was intentioned to take us cashless. I think the purpose of that policy was to curb vote buying. We could as well stop calling it cashless or Naira Swap or whatever and start calling it curbing vote buying policy of the CBN. That was the focus. Because otherwise, how do you explain the fact that you wanted that policy to succeed, but you ignored critical issues like infrastructure, like awareness, like being able to walk these people through what they need to do? You ignored everything. And you assume that by setting deadlines, all these 50 million people will automatically start using other channels and drop the cash that they've been using for 40, 50 years or since they were born. It wasn't going to happen automatically. But it was totally ignored. So the focus was, okay, this is the deadline. You don't bring your note, blah, 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 blah. And when you even look at some of the, look at them, the procedure for returning the old notes back to the CBN. Number one, across most of the states, you have only one CBN office.
That's right.
And that office will be in the state's capital.
That's right, again.
Okay, so if you take a Lagos, we are told we have over 20 million people. Let's assume that Lagos, because of the awareness and all of the rest, that 99% of the people comply. And there is this 1% that was recalcitrant. 1% of 20 million people is still 200,000.
That's right.
If 200,000 people showed up at the doorstep of CBN, how did he hope to cope?
Did you see the crowd?
So the question
those
is,
when did, I'm sure those went up to 10,000. So yeah,
he had no facility for attending to retail activities, but you have invited 10,000 people or 5,000 people to come to your doorstep. What were you thinking? Unless perhaps what CBN is saying is that it has made up its mind that all these remaining notes, they are with one man. And as long as they are with one man, then nobody will come in. Everybody else have dissipated their old note. Hmm. But that was not what we saw on Thursday and Friday. Hmm. It was so bad that I think they even got scared themselves. And when they got scared, they said, wait till these people, make una come begin go
your bank.
Commercial banks. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there was a memo that was circulating that yes. Commercial bank will make una no receive money from these people. So you asked them to come to CBN. And then when they came, you said, go to the commercial bank. By the time they are getting to the commercial banks are saying, we have been told not to receive money from you.
Mm.
What kind of plan is that? So by every indication, this wasn't meant to be a cashless policy or a currency swap or anything. It is best described because this is what the focus seems to be, as a vote buying curbing policy of the CBN.
That leaves us to the other part of my question as regards the performance of the CBN governor himself, Godwin Emefiele. Some have said that he hasn't really helped in managing Nigeria's currency, the Naira, pretty well. Some have said that he has impacted more negatively in managing the economy of the country, more than any other CBN governors that we've ever had. What's your thought on that?
It's neither here nor there. I think he hobnobbed too much with the executive, and I'm not sure he was able to stand firm on many things regarding his own role. I still remember vividly in the days of Trump, vis-a-vis the guy who was the chairman of the Reserve Bank in the U.S.
Mm.
The U.S. president would say A, the guy would say no, he's this B, and he will go for his B. And that is when they're saying autonomy of CBN, that is exactly what it means.
What it means.
The guy is saying, I know my job, this is my thing. Yes, you are the president, but as far as monetary policy is concerned, this is where we're going. And he will maintain it. We need to be able to get to that level where we have CBN people at the helm of affairs who are willing to walk away. Because that is another thing we cannot receive.
Do you think he should have resigned the moment that notion came out that he was planning to run for the office of president?
It is politicizing the position. How will you be the CBN governor you want? It is part of the problem now. Because if you remember some of the comment from, I think it was the APC candidate saying, okay, or some of its people, maybe not the candidate himself, that this guy contested, he lost our candidate, therefore he's undermining our candidate. If he had not contested in the first instance, maybe that would not have been there. Should the CBN governor be a card-carrying member of any political party? Once you walk into that kind of a space, you are bound to be described as a politician. And as a politician, your policy may be seen as not neutral, but political. Anything you do could have a political undertone. He also took up too many roles that were not necessarily supposed to be his role. He became literally like a prime minister. Can you confirm this other one, that other one? At a point in time, you're wondering whether he's combining like three or four different portfolios.
I want to talk to you about the president. I mean, first off, the protest that rocked Lagos last week, and then subsequently the address of the president. What effect do you think that presidential broadcast, had or is having on the situation?
Well, presidents should talk, and no matter how you see it, their words still carry some comfort with it. It was appealing to people to take it easy. It was appealing to other levels of leadership to also assist. It was saying traditional rulers, religious leaders, to speak with their people, not to get used to what happened. What happened on Friday did not appear to me to be spontaneous. It looked to me like it could also have been sponsored. This is the worry people like me have about, leaving angry people, angry groups of people on the road for 3 weeks. So for 3 weeks, we've been watching these people. They are unhappy. They are at ATMs. They start very early in the morning. They are there till late in the evenings. Mm. And we watch them for 3 whole weeks. Now, what could happen is, number one, because they are not happy people, there could be spontaneous reaction that could evolve into protest and violence. That one is there, spontaneous, on themselves, by themselves. Number two is that they could be sponsored to be violent. So there are several interest groups that are interested in an angry crowd. And if they see some, they make use of them. You need to plant a few people in between them, and before you know it, things start to explode. We saw all the attack on the banks when the banks were scapegoated as if they were the alpha and omega of the problem that we saw. But they were not. The money was simply not there. I had a friend of mine, he's a DGM in one of the banks. We were speaking last week, and he said, look, my bank said, oh, we should all go out and be visiting our branches just to see what is going on and, you know, talking to people. He said, one of the branches that he visited, that he himself needed some cash. He said, when he saw how much they have, vis-a-vis the crowd that was outside, he couldn't even ask and say, please give me 20,000 too, I need 20,000. He couldn't ask. In good conscience, he said, I couldn't ask. When he was leaving, he said he had to ask the mupola at the bank, please drive my car to the next street. I will meet you there. So he closed through the back. Because as at the time he was leaving, he saw this note don't finish. The people were there outside. There's still so plenty. So he just quietly went out through the back door to go and meet his car a street away. That is the kind of scenario where we have created. So we must pay attention to this thing and ensure that it doesn't evolve into the kind of some of those violent protests that we have been seeing in recent times, so that people can feel good to come out on Saturday and vote.
I'm still going to, let's finish up with the president's broadcast and that riots, the protests, violent protests last week, you know, across Lagos. So the president said that the 200 naira notes should be reintroduced. They still maintained that the 500, 1,000 should cease, you know, as legal tender. Has anything changed? Do you think that, you know, things may get worse before the election on Saturday if people still can't get money?
Well, I observe, for example, that the 200 naira note, I've received a few of them since that Friday. It could help a little bit. I don't think it will be significant, because what is the volume of 200 naira notes that we have in the first instance? And how much of it are with these banks? So it probably can help, but we're not so sure of how much it will help. When you look at our currency, if you take the largest denomination, which is 1,000 naira, it is less than $2 in value on the streets.
Oh, so wow.
It is less than $2. So you are asking yourself, how much can this 200 naira note really help in this situation? The crowd are still there, essentially. But let's say maybe by Wednesday, if they really pump out everything they have, let's hope
the fear is even after pumping out all the old 200 naira notes added to the new 200 naira notes
and all the other notes,
will it still be sufficient to calm frayed nerves before elections?
It may not. And it may not because it cannot, but because there are also interested groups. There are groups that are interested in it not calming the nerves. The implication of that is that people could also continue to send people to those ATMs. People continue to do that. In fact, people could do transfers to many people and ask them to go collect those monies at the ATMs.
Oh, wow.
Some of the, even the large crowd that we saw at CBN, part of it could also have been sponsored. Because there is a, you see, when you make that kind of a process, it is so, I have friends at the CBN. They are not dumb people. But that particular deposit policy was dumb. If I have stashed away money, and I want to prove to you that your procedure is foolish, I will simply give people money, plenty of them. Go to the CBN and tell them you want to deposit this money.
Oh, wow.
And then you just see a crowd. Wow. At the CP. Yes. Wow. Wow. That is why when we do these things, we must look critically at it.
Well, I'll hold your thought. Please hold your thought. We're going to step out now. We're going to take this break. When we return, we'll talk some more. Lagos, stay with us on The Crossfire.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, have you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yeah.
You eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good, finally!
We should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer our prayer.
Yes, it's not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's about finding happiness in your home. Look, pray.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
I said the lead bow. Welcome back to The Crossfire, Lagos, Nigeria. It's not the lead, it's The Crossfire. And on Monday, we do Crossfire Extended. So we're not done until 10 this morning. I am Sheriff Quatri. I have Bola Olojede here, and we've been having this robust conversation as regards to current realities, current Nigerian realities. We have just been on one topic of our conversation this morning. We have other areas that we'd like to touch on. But thank you again for coming through this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube, where you can also join the conversation by dropping your comments on the things that we've been talking about. We'll also come to the telephone to come take your thought as well. But you should also know that we have, we have 2 hours, but we have plenty of things that we want to talk about. So please, anytime you come to telephone, just make it short and straight to the point. And if you're dropping your comment as well, make it short and straight to the point, okay? We appreciate that. On Facebook and on YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3. If you'd like to drop us your tweet, feel free to do that at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. And our WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. So, Balaam, we have two things to talk about regarding the Naira redesign and swap policy that we started since 8. First is the talk around the motive behind this policy. Some have said that it could be some kind of vindictive policy, and not what we've been told that is for vote buying or whatever it is. Even if it's a vote buying, they are saying that the underlying motive force is quite more like a vindictive sort of thing.
Well, I wouldn't like to start that discussion on the note of vindictiveness. I would like to start it on the note of the fact that this is firmly to curb vote buy, and that curbing vote buy is laudable. That's a good thing to do. Nobody should be able to buy the votes of Nigerians. Having said that, there are new sentiments on the street about how, in fact, let me remember the way someone had captured it. He said it is like setting a rare forest on fire to catch a rat. So there's a big fat rat that you want to catch. You now look at the Amazon and you set it on fire because of that rat. Because of that rat. And that is how the cashless policy appeared to have played out in the society. And when you look at the harm that has come with this policy, the harm has been intensive, on the economy, on individuals. Like I said when I started this discussion, there are probably about 50 million people with zero access at all. Doesn't mean we didn't consider how this might impact them. We had situations in which farmers were short-selling. You just short-sell. In fact, some people were wrongly describing that as, farm product becoming cheaper. It didn't become cheap. That wasn't what happened. It was the fact that these guys, they needed money. That is, it is the only way they've known it.
Especially so those with perishable goods.
With perishable goods. Even those without perishable goods. For example, I can show you a chat sent to me by one of my guys that I do some commodities trading through, saying that, this particular product has become cheap now because these people want money. It is the way they meet their own obligations. So if they can't get the money, they are ready to say, okay, this thing that should be 2 naira. Just give me one naira 50 kobo and take it. Give me the cash. I need to meet certain obligations. We didn't attend to that. Now, back to that vindictive side of things. Some people I know. I mean, my sample size is very tiny. Let me say between 6 and 7 people who hitherto have been neutral or cold about this election and are now saying, look, I don't like this. And I am going to vote, and I'm going to vote for this particular candidate. I'm like, okay, so what is going on that, you know? And they said, look, in 2015, how come PMB did not see all these issues? He didn't. It wasn't that as if he had money. Some people put the finances and they put the resources, financial and all other resources required to make him president. They put it on the table and he became president. So he got all the support he needed. In 2019, a few weeks to election, was when we started to distribute trader money. Now, why didn't he see anything wrong with distributing trader money a few weeks to election? Even the so-called bullion van issues that was being hung on the presidential candidate of APC. They said, look, in that year, in 2019, Tinubu was not on the ballot. You were the one that was on the ballot. Whatever those bullion vans were for, you were the beneficiary. So if you were the beneficiary in 2015 and 2019 and you didn't do cashless then, it means that you're doing this cashless, you're targeting it at that particular candidate. And that it is vindictive because he had supported you 2015, 2019. When it was time for you to reciprocate, you decided to attack. And that, look, they cannot stand for... I mean, this is a segment of...
Initially, they weren't going to vote.
Initially, they weren't going to vote. But they're saying, this is wrong. This is disloyal. This is that. I am going to vote now. I'm going to vote for that candidate for this reason. So, it's a shift in among certain voter segment. And they have strong sentiment that is moving in favor of that particular candidate that is being treated unfairly, and they will not stand for that level of unfairness. Don't forget that voting is largely an emotional thing.
That's right.
For those category of people, they don't even want to care about whether you are buying vote buying or not. For them, it's an unfair treatment, and it's an unfair treatment. And because of that unfair treatment, they will vote for that perceived victim of the unfair treatment.
Let's take some calls. Let's take some messages as well. Lagos, if you're just joining us, you're welcome. All through this week, we'll be discussing elections 2023, and we'll be looking at all areas and how the campaigns are unfolding, and they're wrapping up as well, because the campaigns must wrap up this week. So I'm going to start with some messages on Facebook.
One quick one, Sherry, because I found it very, very funny.
What's that?
When they told me yesterday that people were good, this category of voters, were going to the extent of saying, if financial inducement is what it takes, or cash being given to them is what it takes to vote for this candidate, that they will even vote for him on credit. Let him enter first. When he comes in, he will come and pay them. And I found that comedically pathetic. But that is to show you the vehemence that these people felt about, the issue.
Okay, all right now. Alalade Fred on Facebook says he is enjoying you. That's what he's trying to say. Let's move on to this one that says, Ni Adewale says, there is overall poor network in Nigeria to run a cashless policy. Ni, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to go now to the telephone. Let's take a few more calls. Let's take this one here. Listen. Morning to you.
Hello, sir. Morning. My name is Adesanya.
Welcome.
I think that the problem with this cashless policy was they did not think about the scenario. It's something America called Bruce Hamilton. What they do is they take government policy that tries to run it on a small scale and see how it works before they deploy. And that is why we do that. I think it's a poor policy, and I think it's going to fail eventually. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for calling me. Drive safe, okay. Nigeria, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Good
morning to you.
Yes, this is Agola.
Thank you, sir.
The corrupt politicians cannot take the good money to the bank or to the CBN because it can be traced. Mr. Agola, if you give like 10 people money to change for you at the CBN office, you know, trust me, not all of them will return with it.
Apple Store.
I'm telling you, not many of these. That 10 people, I'm telling you, five of them will not return with the money. That was why the NNPP Federal Candidate Corporation, you know, was taunting some APC governors that they are looting now. Have a nice day.
You too, have a good one. Nigeria, Info, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
You see, it's only in Nigeria they put the cat before the horse. Now, this policy, they didn't even think it through. Even if they want to do it, I know that timing is very crucial. They would have been working on the system, on the internet system, to be effective before this thing is implemented. You see, for the corrupt politicians, they will always find out. They are like water. You can't hold water. If they don't give it in cash, they will give it in incentive. How about that? Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you, too. We're going to take two more before we... go on. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Okay. Hi. My name is Chinelo. I'm calling from Mamani Road, actually. So this is it. My thought is this. I think your guest today is very biased, and that's my opinion. It's very laughable how he says he talked to 6 people out of 100 million of Nigerians, and then he's saying they would even go on credit, and they would they're about how Buhari took, I mean, the whole process of 2019. I mean, I think it's a very biased opinion, not my opinion, because I can't imagine how you listen to some people and you think that's enough for us 100 million Nigerians to think that is a good sample, you know, to work out of, you know. I just think it's very biased, and I feel like this is not the person to be listening to at this time, because it's going to try to skew us out of what the reality and fairness is.
Chinelo, I respect your opinion, but I think you got it all wrong, though.
I think you did.
Would you like to explain to Chinelo, you know?
When I was going to make that comment, I said the sample size is small, and I mentioned the sample size. I didn't say I was polling.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a poll. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the feeler that I got from
some people. This is your interaction with some people.
Exactly. I also picked my word when I said a segment of the voters. These people are a segment of the voters. They may even be 1% of the entire voter population. They do not necessarily represent Chinelo's opinion or my opinion or Sheriff's opinion. That is their opinion. So it is there. They are human beings and they are voters. And that is what they think. That is what they think.
The same way,
it doesn't follow that is what I think.
Exactly. And by extrapolation, I would say that it's the same way some people would vote a candidate because of some certain qualities.
Exactly.
And they say it in public, on radio, on TV. It's the same way these people too are talking. So, and I'm quite sure that Balan did not say that this is the opinion of Nigerians.
No.
That's why
I picked my word deliberately.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to leave that as an opinion representative of any.
Right. Now, Balan, quickly now, let's go, because I want us to finish with this aspect of the conversation before we go to election proper. The Supreme Court order.
The Supreme Court order is a very interesting, but sadly, I found it very sad. Here is it. The president is very determined on this issue of voting, rightly or wrongly. And he has taken it like a moving train that nothing should stop. So what you see is that even if it is Supreme Court, if you are saying you are Supreme Court, you are jumping in front of this train, I ain't going to stop you. You better jump out of that place or I crush you. That is the kind of... And I believe that it will still continue along this line until 25th of February. I don't think anything will shift, because it's determined, and that is the kind of person that we have observed that he is. So, however, was that action sub judice? I believe it is. There was a case before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has said, hang in there until I listen to the parties for the interlocutory court. So once that happens, you cannot do anything. You have to let it be. That is the way it should be. So what they did was sub judice. The argument could be made about the fact that, oh, it is in the larger interest of the society. It doesn't want vote buying to happen. It is that. But you see, we have to be very careful about undermining our institution.
Is a president, has a president undermined the Supreme Court?
In a way, that is what he did. By not obeying that instruction that the Supreme Court issued. He had a just, like I said, there have been all sort of justification. People say, oh, he didn't, the CBN were not joined. Yes, the CBN was not joined in the case because the people that went to court were deliberate about not joining CBN.
Right.
They knew once you put CBN in it, the jurisdiction would be ousted. So they deliberately kept CBN out of it. Who made that speech? Was it CBN? No, it was the speech about 200 naira note. It was the president that made it. So the president is a party in that case that is before the Supreme Court. And he should have held fire. In fact, I would think maybe things would even have been better if it was the CBN that made that announcement and not him as a party that is before that court. That same Supreme Court, in another 1 week, at least three of these contestants will be back there. Because by then, there will have been a winner of the election.
That's right.
There
that's
will be
right.
people who are unhappy. That's and they will go back to that same court that we said we are disdaining right now. That same court that we are disdaining installed Peter Obi as governor. When they impeached him, they reinstated him. That same court was the one that says when OBJ banned Atiku, it was that same court that unbanned him and said you can contest. When they say he was a Cameroonian, it was that same court that said you are not a Cameroonian, you are a Nigerian, and you can contest. In fact, Tinubu himself might not be contesting today, but for that same court. So even if you line up the leadership, the contestant themselves, none of them will be able to look in the face of Supreme Court and say, ignore these people, because they have been a beneficiary of that institution's judgment.
Let's be very frank, Bola. Who should Nigerians obey? Who should the banks obey? The Supreme Court or the president?
The Supreme Court has an ultimate say. But here is what we have done. Because the president had gone in another direction, it has created chaos. The APC governors are going in their own scattered places, CBN in one direction, president there, Supreme Court at the other side. We have created a chaotic situation. I hope we can rein it in and give up. It's like saying the Supreme Court of the U.S. has overturned Roe versus Wade in America. Now, Biden is for Roe versus Wade. It gives that authority for people to do abortion and all those kind of things, all those kind of rights. That to for him, and maybe 150 million other Americans did not like the fact that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade. Should they then disobey what the Supreme Court of America said? No. Biden can complain. He probably can find some other legal way to go and present some other bills and whatever. But that pronouncement should be obeyed. It is in the interest of order. The Supreme Court is not final because it is always right. It is right because it is final. It is the law in itself. What they say there is the law.
Why have we seemed to have disobeyed the Supreme Court in this instance and obeying the president? Well, now, hold on. We're gonna take this break. We'll bring you the news at the top of the hour, Lagos. When we return, well, I would attempt that question then. Stay with us, Nigeria.
Nine3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Still here. Every Monday we do Crossfire Extended. We usually start from 8 all the way to 10. And this morning we're talking about events that unfolded all through last week and, you know, since the Naira redesign and swap policy started. And we've been some type of conversation this morning. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Thank you. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join the conversation. Don't worry. I'll come and take your thought on WhatsApp in a moment and take more calls as well. Well, before the break, we're talking about the Supreme Court order. And we've talked briefly about the president's position, whether he has acted in contempt of court. And then before the break, I was asking whether we, the people, have acted.
I've also joined.
Yes.
I want to be careful how I speak about the Supreme Court. However, the Supreme Court has put itself in a position in which a lot of people have problems with some of the judgments. One of the most popular one is the Imo-Guba election. You also have issues of where technicalities have been used to resolve very serious matters that people believe should have been done at the level of the substantive issues in itself. So there are elements of distrust somewhere there. And I think, I don't know the translation of this Yoruba proverb, but let me say it all the same. Yoruba in if they are saying all these things about you, you need to take a pause, review yourself, and be able to place yourself on a pedestal much higher than what we have right now, so that when anything comes from you, nobody will feel the way many people feel today about some of the things that are. And this is part of the reason why people are saying, don't mind those people, Joe. Let's do our own. The other part is that, on a general basis, most Nigerians believe that this cashless thing will help us to curb vote buying. And therefore, anything whatsoever that will stand in the way of that subject matter, they don't want to care. A large member of population has said, look, let's suffer through all of this. It is for our sake. Therefore, it doesn't matter that it is the Supreme Court. To them, it doesn't matter that it is the Supreme Court that is coming in that space. If you're coming in that space, we would rather say, you are just talking your own. You know, this is the way we will do our thing.
Yeah.
But the way I look at some of these things is that governance is about the people. In this case of the cashless policy, a lot of people have suffered. I wish that there could have been a way we could separate the suffering from the issue of vote buying, so that we are able to arrest whatever vote buying issues that we are dealing with, while we don't make people to suffer unnecessarily on the other side. I guess it's a bit too late. I foresee a situation in which the president will hold on firmly to this matter, until 25th of February, when we'll come up.
Are we accomplices as well if we say that the president is in contempt of the court? So the president gave a directive, like release 200 naira, right? We still have people with old notes, but then nobody's collecting the old notes from them, in spite of the judgment of the Supreme Court.
We are accomplices. There is no doubt about that. We are accomplices because what we also seek as citizens is what is driving us. And nobody is looking at that other picture of a chaotic situation that could arise from disobedience of the Supreme Court. It is called the Supreme Court for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And if we begin to disobey, before you know it, there will not be. Some people think we can do with that. Like I'm saying, in another couple of weeks, or maybe even by next week, some of these candidates will be back in that same Supreme Court. So it shows that it is a critical part of our democracy. We need it to be strong and firm, and we need to be able to obey it, not undermine.
Well, we're going to take a few calls. When we are done with this set of calls, then we'll talk some other matter, and that is the presence of military in major cities across the country. I've seen the one of Lagos. I've seen the one of Rivers. But if you're outside of Lagos or outside of Rivers and you've seen military presence as well, you may want to share your thoughts in case you're listening, via our app. All right, so let's get to the telephone lines, take a few calls. 01-277-0993, 277-1993, 277-2993, and 277-3993. Or call the smart number 0700-993-993-993. We've got a female-only line for female callers only. 01-465-7190. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is Joy calling.
Welcome, Joy.
I want to greet the man in the studio.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it's
you.
It's like you are from another world, not from this Nigeria at all. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's our Joy. Oh, wow, Joy. Okay. So short. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
This is Claire from Ijigun.
Welcome, Claire.
I thank Mr. Bolahan for all his submit on this foregoing topic. What I wanted to say is that our judges, too, they are part of the problem we have in Nigeria, in the sense that look at all the different scenarios that he painted, the documents they've given, even the one of, the Senate president, who has not even... done primary, and they gave him the grace to recontest. It's very, very disheartening that we have the judiciary and they are just using their rights anyhow. So the judiciaries too, they need to sit down and think through their action and do the right judgment so that people can begin to believe in them again, because they have lost our confidence. Then as per the Naira note redesign,
right?
If the president is trying to use it to cop, vote buying, and to also stop the governors from cutting away the public fund by putting these measures, I think I support it.
Okay, all right.
That is the corrupt governors,
right?
Not all of them.
So, Claire,
government officials.
Claire, so we are clear. You're saying that you are ready to go in contempt of the Supreme Court if the policy is to cut vote buying.
I will follow what the president says.
We are saying the same thing. We are saying the same thing. Good morning to you.
Hi, Sheriff. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Jonathan is very
good. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Abdullah.
Hey, good morning, my brother.
I think I really appreciate your line of thoughts. You are not biased in any way. You are just talking the reality. A lot of people are suffering here. You cannot implement the policy where you have not built capacity. Just as you have listed it, that's just the way it is, and that's the reality. Nobody said it's a bad policy. The point is very clear. A lot of people don't have the ATM here. A lot of people don't even have internet banking here. And even your network that you operate, is it reliable? On Saturday, I was in the filling station at Jebule. They don't have network in the POS. So all these are problems. People in the tick village, how do you want them to survive? Nobody's against this policy, but you can't do this in 3 months. And I'm also, 98% of us are not bandits. We are not counterfeiters. We are not heaping money at home. You know the people that are doing these things. You have all the apparatus in your government. So go after them. Enjoy your money, people.
Thank you, too, for calling, Jonathan. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. We have a few more waiting. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I'm Comrade Han. What my contribution this morning is this. I'm not in support of all these policies. The implementation is quite poor. So hasty. I believe if the president wanted to do something of this nature, he should have done it. If truly he meant well for Nigerians, he should have done it in 2019 election, which is his own election. But he didn't do it. So why now, 3 months ago? So to me, anybody's believing and saying, oh, for vote buying and all, excuse me, have we asked ourselves, what's the value of Naira to dollar? What the level of food insufficiency, high cost of living, security, has he addressed that, all the many challenges we have? And then he just did one empty rubbish, but a lot of people are saying, oh, yes, it's true. He's trying to do it. Wait, what has Buhari achieved all through these 8 years, supposed to believe? So I'm totally against this whole policy, this nonsense. This is nonsense that puts millions of people in suffering, abject poverty, in sorrow, in pains, and people are saying, oh, yes, he saved vote by it. So after this election, we're going to have another election in the next 4 years. So are they going to change the narrative again in the name of vote buying? So please, for God's sake, let's just reason rightly. And what is being considered is final. not the federal government. So please, people should pass the right information to Nigerians on radio. Not coming and playing politics here. You are APC. I don't like this. Let's be sincere with ourselves. This is rubbish. This policy is ill-conceived, so hasty and poor implementation, which everyone knows. So I'm not concerned about whatever motive is there. The point is that we don't need this at this stage. We'd never. Election is just one week. You're making the environment poor, making the country poor, making everywhere so tense. So how will people go out to vote? So please, let's pass the right information. Please, whoever is APC, they should take their APC to their bedroom. Let's be truthful and sincere with ourselves. This thing is affecting. Okay, Sherry, do you have access to the new notes?
No, I don't.
Do you have access to the new now? Have you withdrawn anything from the bank, Sherry?
So
what are you? What are people saying for vote buying? How is it today we are doing election that there is vote buying? Please, let's not come on there and be saying rubbish, please.
Right.
Even if people are not educated, let's not pass the wrong information to people. Let's use morality and God conscience and the principle of equity and natural justice and speak. This is wrong. Whatever people want to say, this is absolutely wrong because millions of people have suffered. Do you know what people went through? Do you know that I have to go and pick up old notes for my mom, trying to say I can just spend this at the money will not become people on Friday until we now hear the news that CBN said, oh, they should accept 200 naira note. And what sort of notes? Just calling us back and forth. Look at the confusion. Look at the commotion. Back and forth. So inconsistent, incoherent speech. Today they are saying this, tomorrow they are saying this, by afternoon again they are saying. So what is all? Is that a nation? Where do you see in the history of any advanced city in the world that their citizens are buying a currency for another currency? That we are buying naira for naira. Where have you seen it in the world that people come and say, oh, the president meant well. He's for vote. Come on, please. Excuse me. Has this president done anything rightly? I don't know. I don't know how people are being deceived. Though. I mean, I can't be deceived, honestly. Please, let's get this. This is week of election. The environment needs to be calm. Needs to be cool so people can go out and vote.
Right.
So thank you very much, Sherry. Please. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for calling me. Let me come to you from this caller's point of view. About confusion everywhere. And I've heard that severally. Like, there's so much confusion. And I pity those states where the president is saying something and their governors are saying another thing. I mean, what do you think could be happening in such states,
for instance? It appears as if you think those states are some faraway state. I'm telling you emphatically that even in Lagos
state...
People still spend the old 500 and 1,000 naira notes on Saturday for trading because of the desperate situation that they have found themselves. So I have a friend who went to the market on Sunday and said, in fact, that the things he didn't need, he bought them because he still had some of these old notes and was like, oh, so people are actually still taking
still
this.
Taking.
He started buying things that he think he would dash them out at the end of the day. From all of that. So the confusion is too much. Nobody, we don't deserve this level of confusion. Look at Friday alone, in which you say people should come to CBN. They came to CBN. You said they should go to the commercial bank. They went to commercial bank. You sent a memo to the commercial bank and said, commercial bank, don't accept money from them. Okay, what exactly do you want these people to do? What will happen? And don't forget that Friday was the last day for returning the notes.
That's right.
What if those guys, in the course of you pushing them around from CBN to commercial bank, they were not able to turn in the note, and they decided to show up at CBN again today. What will happen? So, where we missed the point was where we did a disregard for the Supreme Court ruling.
Exactly.
And from that point, the whole thing was on roller coaster confusion, total.
People have also blamed, I mean, we'll go to the security angle in a moment. People have also blamed, to be very specific now, Governor El-Rufai, for his own broadcast after the president broadcast. They've termed it treasonable. What's your thought on that?
Yes, it's not treason. They should go and check the meaning of treason. We also need to understand that part of the reasons why both president and the governors do some of the things they do is that they are immune. You can't prosecute them for criminal offense. You can't prosecute them for civil offense. So what are you going to do to them? Declare a state of emergency in their state, what can you do? Even state of emergency requires certain processes to be fulfilled. The National Assembly must give a nod on a state of emergency. So, how do you deal with a governor? So, I guess that is also part of why they feel larger than life sometimes and they do what they're supposed
did
to
do. Did he do anything wrong?
I don't think so. He can always say he did not, that he was obeying the Supreme Court. And you can't fault it because the Supreme Court indeed passed a judgment. And that judgment is supposed to be the ultimate as far as that issue at stake is concerned.
Most
so they will tell you that I'm obeying the Supreme Court.
Most importantly, he was also part of the three governors that approached the Supreme Court. So he could say that he was only obeying.
He was only obeying what the Supreme Court has said. And you can't really fault that. And if you fault it, what are you going to do? There's a governor. Immune.
But how about his people? Who do
now,
you think?
In fact, from that speech,
yeah.
I could also see vote buying. That speech said, continue to spend your money. In one of the interactions that he had with the people, he was saying, don't worry, just vote for this and this. That's another in one interaction that was also viral. Vote for the APC. And all this money, if they don't accept it from you, this person will refund you all your money. What is that? The voter broker, because they're saying, you can hold on to the note. We'll give you the note. Just let my guy win the election first. If you win the election, don't worry yourself. All these things will come true. So it is a very confusing atmosphere. The root of it started with the poor cashless policy in itself, which wasn't cashless. It was more or less a vote-buying, curbing policy. That was the root. Then every other thing was going many, many wrong things until it got to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The decision that the president made to go sub judice on the Supreme Court did not augur well, because it led to all those governors taking the direction that they made. Yeah. And people have said, why is he the APC governors? Anyway, although there have been a couple of non-APC. I know Autumn, for example, had been on the side of the fact that let's scrap this policy because people are suffering. Autumn is not an APC governor. Wike, we don't even know where he belongs. Wike was But you see, in the real sense, anything that takes cash off the ground affects significantly the so-called structure. Structure, those things so-called structure run on cash. Cash go all the way to the world. When you're going to have people who will be at those PUs as your representative from morning till night, they are given some things.
You need cash.
So considering the possibility of making transfer to 176,000 PUs across the nation in the midst of all the infrastructure issues, and it is Herculean. So they would rather have their cash to be able to oil their structure right down to the word.
I want to talk to you about time flies. Let's talk about the elections and what the last caller said as well. The tension, palpable, you know, fear in the atmosphere. I saw videos of soldiers in a show of force kind of parade, if you like. We've heard, that... there's been deployment of military personnel all across the countries. In fact, in the video released by the president yesterday, he made mention of the fact that, you know, adequate measures have been taken to take care of security in the elections. The video is about 2 minutes or so long, and the video had almost everything taken care of, you know, in that video. He spoke about the economic situation, the cash redesign. He spoke about security. He spoke about the APC presidential candidate. But let's talk about, you know, the insecurity part. Earlier this morning, people have said that we're about to militarize our electoral process again. What's your thought?
They probably were not aware that is how it has been.
Yeah.
I was on the road in 2019 presidential election, on the day of the election, on some election duty. So I probably must have visited up to like 100 PUs or something. And in the course of all that drive around, there were soldiers all over Lagos State, some part of the city. So we've always had them. Maybe people were not just paying attention to that. Then it wasn't as if they would be distributed to all PUs. But they stay in certain positions. I believe they will have defined what represents strategic positions from a security perspective, and that is where they put them. Though I ask myself a question, for example, that why was there none around that Okota Itire? Because if you remember the Okota Itire problem, policemen were there, probably unarmed. Even if they were unarmed, it was outgunned by even the viciousness of the number of people that came around to cause that mayhem. It would be nice if part of the military, they don't do anything, they don't disturb anybody, they're just there to let you know that we are here. Mm. And that presence, it helps in a way. Unfortunately, that is where our election still is at this point. They will be there, they will not disturb anybody, but they will step in if there is a need for them to step in. That is the way I see it.
Is it impossible to still have the military in the barracks, but if there's a need to have them intervene, then we get them out of the barracks?
Well, that's a way to look at it. But I think we are used to, don't forget, in the real sense, how many, OBJ was a military man, he's wearing Agbada. The current president is also a military man in Agbada. A chunk of our experience in the past 30, 40 years, military as well. So that part of us has not gone away. In the real sense, the military has no business, except there are national security issues at stake. Elections should not be a national security issue at stake kind of thing. In some countries, it's a work day. People are going to work and they quickly vote and they move on. That is how easy it has been. But here in Nigeria, we are not quite there. And whatever will provide that comfort for people, I think we had better do it for the sake of this election. Then we can plan over time to exit this mentality of putting military on the street. The military have more serious fish to fry all over the place. And they should concentrate on that. Let the police be the one that will handle this. But I'm not sure we're quite there.
Okay. All right. Sure. Let's go take some reactions now. We're going to take a few messages. Amawoli Orun says, you allow the last callers to use the whole day because she said what you want. Thank you for your thought. Appreciate it. Let's see. Ifedigbo says, I'm sorry, your message just disappeared. Atonda says, the real truth is that the CBN and presidency are jittery of the Supreme Court because CBN acted against its own CBN Act. The same CBN could not meet up with the demand of a depositor. Depositor's request either at the bank counter and ATM machine. I don't understand that part. Okoli says, El-Rufai chose the one that will favor him. Soon, Kaduna people will come after him for misleading them. Why are they crying more than the masses?
Yeah, it has been. It has been a very intense one. you could guess from the calls and some of the.
right. You know what? Let's continue. Let's take this conversation even further because talking about elections and the military presence in some areas, and we're talking off air, and we spoke about possible post-election crisis. Well, what's your thought about that? Because I've spoken with a lot of people, and they're saying, look, we'll have the elections. Their fear is what happens afterwards.
We should not forget the fact that this election is going to be very competitive, especially amongst the three or four frontline contestants. There are even fears that maybe there might be a second ballot, but we don't know. I remember I've also mentioned that maybe by next week, some of these candidates will be back in that same Supreme Court. You know, my expectation is that the DSS, the intelligence unit of the military, of the police, all the security operatives will be proactive about post-election related issues. There are indications that there might be post-election related protests, maybe even violence, if we are not proactive to preempt and prevent, or at least ensure that we will not escalate beyond what we can put under control. This will require a strong level of proactiveness on the part of the security structure. You have, for example, issues of polls. And I've asked myself, if there have been 10 polls and a particular candidate has come top in 9 out of the 10 polls, what happens if that candidate did not win the election? Are we already leaving a message in the air that this is the guy that must win? Because out of the 10 polls, he had won 9. So that is 90%.
Hmm.
So if he doesn't win, it doesn't mean that the election has been rigged against the candidate. It could be. It may not be. If it is rigged, it has to be substantiated. Not that we already have a basis to say, let's go to town and call some. Mm-mm. So all these things require monitoring. There are also complaints about certain states where, you know, there are too many hoodlums.
Mm.
And we've seen what these hoodlums have done in certain parts in the past.
Mm.
So if their own candidate did not perform as well as they think he should perform, mm. are there chances that they may go and start attacking some people and say, oh, you people are the reason why our candidate is not do as well as he's supposed to do in this place.
Mm.
These are things we must continue to watch and be on top of it. In fact, it is, to me, almost more important than the issue of putting military in the
pre-election preparation.
Pre-election,
yeah.
Yes. I think it's a very serious
post-election.
To pay attention to.
Let me talk to you about INEC and INEC's preparation. INEC has been quoted to have said that, the issue of Naira scarcity may affect them.
Mm-hmm.
They have also been quoted to have said that, you know, this Saturday is sacrosanct, nothing would change it. I want election to happen on Saturday. But what are those things that must be done to ensure, especially on the part of INEC? Also in the news this morning, at this part, that we're hearing that, you know, the cash that INEC would require for elections, they would get it most likely tomorrow. Now, which means that there may not be any excuse for INEC not to have elections as well. I'll come to you on INEC and transportation of logistics in Lagos in a moment.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about INEC preparedness from your own point of view.
I think INEC has been able to identify where the problems could come from.
Mm.
And it is heavy on issue of logistics. It is even the logistic that is driving the issue of we need some cash.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So logistics could be affected by fuel. So INEC has gone to NNPC and have discussions at high level.
True.
Though, if you look at a place like Lagos, fuel issues has, you know, calmed down.
I can see that as well.
Yes,
I can see that. Yeah.
So literally, anybody could get fuel to buy in Lagos today. I'm not saying Lagos is the reality of everywhere in Nigeria. I don't know what is going on. I'm aware of Abuja and Lagos, but I don't know what is going on. But beyond that, INEC has now had an arrangement with NNPC to say, even if this there's fuel issues, you will have fuel.
Mm.
In designated stations, however arrangement is such that your logistic will not be hampered by fuel. Also, he had a meeting with CBN, which is part of what you just said. Now, cash should be provided for certain last mile payment that are required.
Mm.
You're going to deploy policemen to every PU, for example. You ask a man to resume at a station early in the morning, will be there till evening. He go chop now.
That's right.
So is it transfer that may go and hook somewhere that you want to use to pay him and all of that? And some people that will take election materials, some of these things will be on Maru, this keke and the rest of them.
Mm.
You can't afford to say it is transfer I want to do to you. The guy may just say, okay, you won't do that. Okay, carry your material, they go by yourself now. And he goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So the cash. So on the part of INEC, I think they are more or less ready for this election. Although, in the last election, we were assured until the morning.
I was waiting for you to land, though. I swear I was waiting for you to land.
Until the morning of that election, before the postponement happened. Obviously, they will have learned from that. They will have learned from that. So, and it was still logistics then, don't forget. So by crossing their T's and dotting their I's to ensure that what caught them off guard the last time will not this time around.
Mm. Now let's talk about transportation in Lagos. The talks around INEC trying to make use of the services of Lagos Parks and Garages Management INEC has denied that. They have said that they only spoke with individual drivers, and their contract is with individual drivers, not with the parks and garages management. But then, Lagosians are not buying that.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot. I would have said they do buy that. You know, to say that INEC will sit down and have contracts with, I don't know how many people, 1,000 drivers. Now, Yellow Bus, they bring election material. I call my own PU. And we'll feel comfortable to have contract at that level with Yellow Bus drivers. It's a bit on the ridiculous. The way to have a business to do with those drivers is through their association. They have a union that is probably the most effective union in this country. Effective because they can drive home their policy and their decisions via coercion, whatever. Nobody disobeys. You obey when your association speaks. That is the strength of that association. So, come to the fact that these same association, these same people, will have the people who have been distributing this logistic material from time.
God knows when.
are the same people.
Yeah.
The only thing that must have happened this year is that there is suddenly an increased awareness. Is it not this guy? This guy is partisan now, but he did it in 2019. He was also partisan in 2019. And the problem we had in 2019 in Lagos was not so much about electoral material not being delivered. It was more of certain pockets of violence.
That's right.
After the election itself has started. That was what we had. So essentially, this is the same structure that has delivered it from time immemorial. Now, because we are more conscious now, political parties are complaining. I think what needs to happen is that INEC should talk to them. Maybe that discussion has even happened to give them the necessary comfort that, look, this is it. That is a problem too. And if anybody has another solution, let him bring it to the table. That this is in that kind of a discussion, whoever has another solution will bring it to the table. But we have to be conscious of the fact that we must not frustrate the logistic of that election on that day. And if we're not careful and we just decided to, you know, this overconsciousness, we may actually frustrate that logistic. Some say, oh, remove the INEC guy.
Yeah, Rick.
In Lagos. I don't have any business with that. If you want to remove him if it's not. But even if you remove him and bring another person, the real issue is logistics. We will still, that new person will still have to provide a solution to that logistics. So why not face the logistics instead of facing the man?
Is there a way to keep an eye on logistics distribution for those who are not comfortable with the arrangement?
What would you suggest? Those are the kind of things that I believe in the discussion between INEC and these parties will have been resolved. To say, what gives you the comfort? ADC, PDP, what gives you the comfort? You can also go back to it that in Lagos, we've not had a problem with late delivery of election material. That has not been our problem. But this time around that you guys are bringing it up, what do you think will give you the comfort? Let the solution come from them as well. In this matter, I don't know if they are the same buses that the police also ride in. If they are,
I don't know. People have suggested that perhaps the military can undertake that.
The military is busy. Part of the discussion we've had today was the deployment of military for this same election.
Right.
Have we taken an inventory of the military vehicles that are available? They are in several theaters where they are having operations as we speak. They are also going to be all around during the election in itself. So where are these vehicles that we're talking about? We don't even have the inventory to be able to make a decision as to whether it is enough or not. We don't have it.
Okay. We have a very limited time left now. I would have loved for us to talk about voter education as well. Quite a number of people will be voting for the very first time in their entire life. I mean, they are not children, no, they're adults, but they've never voted before.
Never showed interest.
And they will be voting now. I'd like for us to talk about that scenario of, you know, first-time voters, adult voters, and what is required of them. Quite a number of people don't even know what they will do when they get to polling units. but I can see campaigns here and there, on TV, on the radio, you know, telling people what to do when you get to your polling unit and all of that.
Yeah.
I can see all of that going on around. But let's see, let's take some feedback from you, Lagos. We have 9:48 on our clock, so we're going to take this call. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Well, morning
excellent.
To you.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, good morning. We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Dario. I'm calling from First Tech. I'm a logistics solutions person.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can give me some time to spar on this logistics thing.
Yes, please. Go on.
I know INEC and stuff does listen to you.
Hmm.
Now, you see, the thing is, unfortunately, it's already too late to tweak the logistics. I checked. The amount of trucks, the amount of buses that INEC need is completely insane. To think that you can garner that very quickly now. But going forward, there's something we could have done.
Hmm.
I've suggested it a while back.
Okay.
For example, you have clusters of dealers who bring in a lot of vans.
Hmm. Hmm.
These guys bring in vans consistently to service Nigeria.
Okay.
I kid you not, the inventory that they have, it is to the tune of thousands that would have been able to be sufficient for us. Now, what we could have done, the budget that INEC had, you could have told these guys, you guys will get a tax rebate, give me buses. Now, all the time that INEC, like 3 months ago, last quarter, were saying, get drivers, start training them. Get DSS involved in training these drivers to tell them that, look, anybody messes around. So now, afterwards, after the election, we could have used those buses again for the, what's the name now, the censors coming. After then, they can then auction off those buses.
Mm.
So it's a win-win situation for everybody. The government will make money. INEC will get this logistics solution figured out at a cheap rate. At the same time, censors also will get a discount. You understand? Mm. And then people will then be able to pick it. And in fact, you have buses can be specially designed to be able to carry all that they require. So those buses can then serve again as agricultural last mile produce delivery for clusters that can be designed afterwards. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the regular buses that will be carrying people.
Hmm.
You understand? So it's a win-win situation across the value chain. It's not so difficult. But you see, once you leave things to too late, right now, I make it bold, except you want to throw a grenade in. There's no magic.
No magic.
It can work out.
There's none.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your thought. And he said it point blank, like there's nothing that
it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah, let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Morning, Terry.
Morning to you.
Yes, Lucky Lola.
We can barely hear you. You're sounding very low.
Lucky Lola, can you hear me now?
Okay, let's hear you.
Yes, but why can't INEC, you know, have their own budget for something like this? What of the money that has been allocated to them in the previous years?
Do you know how many buses we're talking about?
INEC is not a
have their own bus now.
No,
not
no.
Looking for time like this, where they will not, you know, looking for who to give the contract to another. But I beg CBN, you know, and that they should please, you know, release money for them so that there won't be any kind of delay at all.
Mm, indeed. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thought. Let's take one more as we go. Good morning to you. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please. Morning to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
I want to contribute on this.
Go on, please. Go on.
Hello?
We can hear you.
So, what I'm thinking in my head now is that what if after boycotting this money and vote buying politicians, at the end of the day, they won the election? What will now happen to the police? They will reverse the policy. And they will file now to the highest party in Kaduna State. Yes, Kaduna will become the richest state because everybody has given out their old money.
No, nobody
will now be the richest state.
That's an interesting perspective.
I didn't see that coming. Oh my word. Well, now we have to go. But let me read this comment here that says INEC introduced BVAS to improve election. On logistics, why can't they use duly verified and profiled Uber, Bolt, in driver partners? And he says his name is Yomi from K2. That's another suggestion there. But will that work though?
It's a bit too late.
Hold on, well, I'm going.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Okay.
If you're a strong believer of the fact that February is the month of love, let me see your hands up. See, these people are the people of faith. They believe that Valentine is not just one day in a month because it spreads through the month of February. Yeah. And so because of that, Now Digital Systems is a payment app that allows you to boss your money when you want to send.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.